Hey, I'm Ken Pettit.
And I'm Martin Frazier.
And we are Loud Americans Discussing Soccer, better known as Lads. Okay. We are back. It is September 10th, 2021. And Martin, who knew that, you know, time just catches up to you. We've been busy the past week and, you know, we missed last week and, you know, tons of news happened. We had Ronaldo happen. We had all sorts of international break drama of Argentina, Brazil, Weston McKinney drama, U.S. men's national team drama. So, yeah, we're finally dropping an episode. This is like the Kanye album, the Donda episode of Lad. So here we are. So yeah. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm just hoping that this episode's not like Donda, because that's kind of shit. Him and Drake kind of dropped the ball on their new banger albums. But, Kev, one thing that stuns me all the freaking time, and you just said it, time flies. Like, we are 3 weeks in, and there's already an international break. So it is, unfortunately, my least favorite time of the year when there's an international break. And I'll be honest to all the listeners, the World Cup is next year, next December. We already know who's going to be in it. And I swear I say this just about six times a year on the podcast. Why? Why are we taking international breaks? Why are we doing this? We know what's going to happen. We know who's going to be in the World Cup. I mean, maybe USA drops the ball and they aren't in it again, which would be glorious. But still, I hate international breaks.
Yeah, this one especially sucks because we got the whole drama of like all the Brazilian players who aren't allowed to play in the Premier League this weekend.
That's great for me.
Well, yeah, for Fred.
I love it. And the best part is Fred didn't even travel. He's just getting fucked because he's Brazilian. Fred, like, he's not good enough to be on the national team. He didn't go to Brazil. But, you know, let's group him in with the rest of the Brazilians and say he can't play. I love to hear that, man.
Yep. If only that happened every week. If only all the Brazilians or just Fred couldn't play every week.
Ban Fred.
Yeah, that was a whole weird mix up. And I hate everyone always asks us questions during the international break to talk about them in the show. And I barely pay attention to it, mostly out of hatred, because I can't stand it. Because then we get dumb shit like this where we have players not being able to play and, you know, they're exhausted. So they're going to be rested for the upcoming Premier League matches. I'm like, especially after match week four now? Like, we're in match week four and we already had an international break. Just, I get it. We have to have these World Cup qualifying matches, but I don't know, man. It just seems too quick.
Yeah, and speaking of World Cup qualifying, and I'm going to do a quick 90-degree pivot right here. Arsene Wenger tried to introduce a new system for the World Cup where it was held every 2 years with like a month out of the season being all international break football. And look, if y'all have listened to this podcast, you know I've got respect. I've got mad love for old Arsene. But the man is getting way too old if he thinks that's a good idea. Like, why do we need a World Cup every 2 years? It's special because it doesn't happen all the time. We already have the Euros in between the Euro, World Cup and the 4 year break. Like, what's going to happen to the Euros if we have the World Cup every single 2 years? What's going to happen in Copa America? I think that's the silliest idea. It's so silly to me to completely change the schedule of the World Cup and make it every 2 years. Why would we do that?
I don't know. I just feel as though it's money. Because money rules everything around me. Preach, get the money. I think I combined two rap songs there. Anyway, this shit mad dumb. And I don't know. This shit just... are we going to address anything like how U.S. men's national team looked like absolute ass besides last night against Honduras? Greg Berhalter, obviously, as we've been preaching, is not the answer. And I've been hearing people say Clint Dempsey should step in as the manager or something. I don't know, to like grab these guys by the cojones and like try and really get them going. But I don't know, man. I really don't know what the answer is to this U.S. men's national team thing. I know we're like, I think it's like Canada, Mexico, then us, I think, in the points leading. But I don't know. I know everyone was real excited about Pepe, though.
Yeah, Pepe. And look, the FIFA World Rankings came out a couple weeks ago, and we talked about them. And we talked about how USA ranked 10th was kind of a laughable ranking. And I mean, this goes to show how fucked up those rankings are. And you look at the competition in the United States, in the competition that we play in to qualify for the World Cup. Like you said, Canada and Mexico are our biggest competition. Canada, I mean, they have Alphonso Davies, but anybody else, good grief, man. We are literally, I think, tied with Honduras, El Salvador, and then you've got the likes of Jamaica, Cuba, and all of them. So for the greatest generation, the golden generation of American stars, this is kind of pathetic. And FIFA, get your head out your ass and stop ranking us 10th place. We are not that good. And to give you credit for what you said, Greg Berhalter, I think we said this 2 years ago when he was assigned, an MLS coach is not the answer ever for an international competition. He is obviously not the answer to guide these young stars into prominence. And Tata Martinez in Brazil is supposedly retiring. I'd love to get him. Like you said, I'd love to get Clint Dempsey. I'd love to get Landon Donovan. But
a player's coach. Sake, I need a player's coach.
I need a Wayne Rooney, the dude who goes out, parties in the night, has some toots over, and then goes out and plays with the
well,
kids.
Well, I don't know. That'd be a great influence of Weston McKennie, but...
Truth. Can we talk about Weston McKennie?
I was thinking about this. I don't want to become TMZ, but the
we
rumor...
We're
not above TMZ. We're not above... Yeah, we are the lads. We're not above TMZ shit. I forgot.
That's true.
so to Weston McKennie, I guess to quick recap, had a visitor in his hotel and had to be sent home because he broke COVID protocol. We're not going to get into if you agree or not with the COVID protocol. I've seen people go back and forth about that. I don't give a shit about that. He broke a rule. What the juicy stuff is who the lady was. And allegedly, people have been saying, do you want to say it, Martin? I don't have the guts.
So if you believe some Instagram rumors, some Instagram stories, allegedly my man Winston, Weston, as I was, hooked up with Christian Pulisic's sister. And I'm not going to say that he just dogged his own teammate, but he straight up dogged his own teammate. This is amazing to me, especially the fact that Landon Donovan came out the day afterwards and like, and said, this is an irreparable sin. This is absolutely awful. I don't know if they can move past this. Like, the man taken after Ryan Giggs, taken after JT. I mean, shoot, this is what legends are made out of. Go fuck your sisters, or go, no, do not
Martin,
do that.
Martin, I know you're in the South, but come on, man. Reel it in.
Freudian slip, and I don't even have sisters.
fair enough. I have a stepsister, so you know what, you know. Bro, why?
Quit
bro.
While you're ahead.
yeah, sorry, you caught me. I'm stuck, Martin. I'm stuck in the laundry.
Help, step brother. Bro. I'm stuck and I can't get out.
Oh man, it's funny. I've actually never met her. It's really weird.
Oh no shit.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that into the pod, but yeah, it is my mom's birthday today because I guess it is the 9th, and my stepdad. Yeah, I've never met my stepsister. Very, very weird relationship. Anywho, yeah, John Terry-esque, Giggsy-esque. Yeah, you just, I don't know if he did do that, which I highly doubt that he actually did, but it is fun making the memes, like the Icardi memes. I saw the I follow a lot of Juventus. I think I said that before, Italian Twitter accounts, because I have like one friend and he was like, follow my friend Kevin. And I ended up having like 20 people who are like big Juventus accounts following me on Twitter. And I was like, ah, well, fucking, I'll follow you back. So my feed on Twitter is mostly just like politics, soccer, and just Juventus. So I've seen a lot of Icardi memes going around, which is pretty good.
I totally forgot Icardi had a relationship with the teammate's sister as well.
Good I think it was God. Wife. I think it was wife.
These yeah. Soccer players, man. Like,
horniness is going to kill a lot of players' careers. but you got to be, I think it's only, it's like the level of horniness to the level of how good you are. You have to be like Wayne Rooney or John Terry or Ryan Giggs good, where it's like still not fine, but like you can still have a career.
Yeah, and you can't be guilty of Gertsen good.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, that's illegal. Whoa. Martin. that's, God. We're off the rails. We're only 10 minutes into this episode. We're just completely off the rails. Okay. So that was our international break coverage. hope you guys Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hey, I was excited U.S. men's got a big win against Honduras. I'm not saying that we're good. I'm just saying that we're at least interesting. Before, I'd just be just not interested in this team, but we have so much fun young talent on this squad that you guys are at least interesting. I just think with some managers, the team is so good, or the team is so good, but the manager just holds it back from reaching its like ceiling. So we'll see. We shall see. But hey, I don't give a fuck anymore. It's Premier League is back, Martin. Holy shit.
Dude, thank the stars above. I mean, we have a full block of football returning to the schedule this weekend, and it feels so freaking good. Like Kev said, like I said, I didn't watch any international soccer because screw that. And I'm just hype about this weekend. I can't wait to slip to 70th place in the fantasy league because I'm apparently awful and know absolutely nothing about soccer. I'm just so stoked. Maybe Ronnie makes his debut. I'm stoked to fucking see Arsenal versus... Oh, guys. Y'all are playing Villa or you guys are playing...
Norwich, Martin. You fucking Norwich. Know this. We're playing Norwich. And actually, quick shout. I guess I should... what's it called? Do like the top in the fantasy league. You want to do a fantasy league moment real quick before we get into the matches?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Okay. So going into week four, our top leaders are Kaja Warrior, Arteta's Lego Hair, 40-year-old Virgil, Griff Football Club, Boom Sakalaka, Ings Coming Home, Creations of Adama, Ham, Philly Fanatics, and You Are My Solskjaer, My Only Solskjaer. So yeah, those are our top 10. Hey, I moved up into 51st place. Go me. It says like, you get the green arrow that says you've gone up. So I don't even know what I was before. But I am now that I think international break just makes me so depressed that I forget about fantasy. But this year, I'm really trying hard to be into fantasy. So, Martin, off the top of your head, who are you transferring into your squad? Who are you transferring out?
Well, I have to make a couple substitutions because of injuries. I also have Iheanacho still on my team, which was a horrible fucking buy. I thought he might carry on his form from last year in the Community Shield, but I was wrong. So I would love to get Ronaldo, but I don't have $12.5 million and I'm not going to sell Salah because he's a guaranteed point scorer. So what I think I'm going to do is I think I'm going to sell Iheanacho and James Maddison and get some shit player in the midfield. And then I'm going to get either Danny Ings or Romelu Lukaku up top.
Yeah, I am looking at my squad and I'm trying to decide who I want to get rid of because I really want Ronaldo in my squad or Salah. So I do have Lukaku, so I could get rid of him and maybe, man, I guess I could get rid of Thomas Suchek and then get a shittier midfielder, but I don't want to replace, this is tough. I see Son and Lukaku are possibly not available for this game for their next match, so that kind of bums me out. I see the little yellow hazard sign or whatever next to their name or whatever. So I don't know. I feel like everyone is trying to get Ronaldo into their squad, and I feel like that's like a no-brainer transfer because that guy is just goals, and he will take the penalty. Everyone's like, well, Bruno let him. It's like, yes, Ronaldo's going to take the penalties for Manchester United, right? Like, there's no brainer on that one.
No, I think Bruno's going to stick with it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
well, that changes fantasy. That changes a lot.
Well, I've got, I swear to God, I'm in like 60th place, but I swear my team should be good because I've got Jota, fucking Bruno and Salah in my midfield. And I just suck, apparently. So I do think Bruno's going to stay taking the penalties. He's done it ever since he came in and he's only missed one. Although Cristiano takes him for the international squad, obviously, I'm just going to trust Ollie's going to keep the system that is in place, the system that seems to be working. And, you know, if Cristiano one-ups Bruno and takes the penalties, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying what I think. I think Bruno's going to keep doing it until he starts missing, and I don't see that happening.
Okay. I like it. I like it a lot. I think Ollie maybe shows that, you know, his... Also, can we talk that, like, Ollie... and Ronaldo were teammates. So weird. Yeah. I saw that stat that like Ronaldo's played against most of his former teammates, not teammates, but former players he's played against. So that'd be Pirlo, He was managed by and played against, and also Zidane. So that's kind of wild.
It really is, man.
Longevity is a real thing.
Yeah, I think one of the most crazy things about Ronnie's career is that it has, you know, spanned such a lifetime where he has started to play with some, or started to be coached by some of the players that he has played with and played alongside with. And, you know, I think that Ronaldo does bring that winning mentality to Manchester United. And at this point, I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has many excuses left to not win a trophy. So it's going to be super interesting to see how he molds into the team. But I'm excited. I mean, we didn't get to talk about it, and I won't go into it. But, I mean, shoot, dude, what a crazy transfer window. What an absolutely bonkers end of the transfer.
Yeah, I mean, this is easily, for me, I don't think any transfer window even fucking compares. Like, this is just absolutely bonkers, like, what happened over this. Like, and Ronaldo coming back to United was the cherry on top. That was absolutely wild to see. Okay, you want to do some previews for this weekend? We don't have to go into depth on each one, but each one that we kind of, like, are kind of interested in.
Heck yeah, let's get after it.
We'll just go in order. We'll start with Crystal Palace versus Spurs at Selhurst Park. I mean, I'm definitely going to lean towards Spurs on this one. And, you know, I think Kane will do his normal thing against, you know, lesser sides. I don't know. I mean, Tottenham have been so interesting this year, especially with all the drama around Harry Kane. But to be currently top of the table,
yeah,
coming back after the international break, like, with Kane staying, Martin, like, I think we initially had our predictions of Tottenham in like 10th to like 8th place, but I feel like Kane, I mean, pushes them up a few spots. So where do you feel about the match and also the future of Spurs right now?
Well, I think we talked about it in our last podcast. We wholly underrated Nuno Santos as that coach and Tottenham in general. But I do think, like you said, Kane's staying, and obviously we have seen that even if he does not want to be at Tottenham, he will give everything to that club. We saw it last year. We kind of saw it the year previous. And it's that club loyalty, man, and that's you know, something to be proud of. And so I do think Kane, he's not going to pull like a Eden Hazard or a fucking Kyrie Irving or something like that and stop giving a fuck. I think he's going to bust his ass all fucking season long. And I do see, now that I've realized my mistake, I do see them in the top seven. Obviously, they've had an incredible start to this year, but I don't see it holding on this entire season. However, they are playing Crystal Palace. And let's be honest with ourselves, Patrick Vieira might be the worst coach I've ever seen. So I think
three games in. Are you just saying ever? Or, I mean, we did have Frank DeBoer. We've had Frank De Boer in the Premier League. Come on, Martin.
All right. Second worst coach I've ever seen.
Okay, there you go.
Third, I'd put Louis van Gaal second. That guy's an idiot.
I'm a bit biased because of the old Patrick Vieira, but yeah. I know,
great player, horrible coach.
Yeah. So
like Brian Giggs and Gary Neville. Like, it doesn't translate for some people. Like Pep Guardiola, amazing coach, decent player. I think you have to be a
Pep Guardiola is pretty highly rated in soccer circles. I mean, he's not in like he's in pretty up there.
Barcelona circles, he is. He's not world class like Vieira was, in any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, he was a little even before. He was what, 80s? So
who, Pep?
Was he 90s? He was 90s.
90s and 2000s. He played in like 2002, I think, was his last year or something.
Was that his last year? Okay,
something like that.
I don't know. I've mostly just followed mostly Premier League history of all time. I can't go into La Liga, then I'll just make my brain mud. But yeah, I see Spurs kind of handing Crystal Palace more of just Crystal Palace just being so dog shit. I mean, that Spurs Wolves game was not confident, where Wolves at least should have got a draw that match. I don't know how they didn't. Like, Adama Traore, if he could fucking use his feet to shoot, it would be a whole different game. So, all right.
That was against us. Yeah, we deserve to lose that game.
Oh, I thought that was the... Which one am I thinking of, then?
United versus Wolves, our last game.
Oh, that's who I'm thinking of. Oh, but the game, the match before that, the Spurs versus Wolves, same result, 1-0.
Oh, that's right, because Wolves are in, like, last place, and they wholly do not deserve to be.
Yeah, so I'm thinking of like two match weeks ago. So
sorry, okay. That's like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and that's quite a long time.
Yeah, my brain shuts off usually like right after this pod. I don't even remember anything we've said after a recording, so probably for the better. Be like a goldfish, short-term memory, like Ted Lasso would say. Beer helps. It does. Okay, next one is the match. Honestly, the match of the weekend, because everyone wants to see us fail. Arsenal versus Norwich. Now, Norwich allegedly have never beaten a London club at home or some type of crazy stat, and everyone's like, Arteta's the man to make it happen. But this is where Arsenal get back on track. And they get 3 points. I feel like this is a must-win game. I feel like Norwich, though, they smell the blood in the water. They're going to be like a shark. A lot of these lesser teams realize that we're a fragile squad right now with no real identity. I feel like, I don't know, Martin, like, I can't even tell you, like, a great breakdown of how the match will go. I just have it in my gut that Arsenal have to win this. If not, this is going to be the longest season of my life.
I'm going to reference one thing about international break that I actually read. Apparently, Norway was kind of struggling in their early qualifying openers. And Martin Odegaard brought the team together in the locker room and shared pieces of advice and motivational shit and kind of turned around their fortunes in their qualifying matches. And so I do think that Martin Odegaard is probably the best purchase that Arsenal has made this summer. I think that he is the real deal. He kind of struggled in his early days at Real Madrid. He went out on loan. He performed well for Arsenal last year. And I do think that the thing that is crappy for Arsenal is there is so much talent between Saka. You've got Aubameyang, obviously. You've got ESR. You've got Martin Odegaard. You've got Thomas Partey. So the talent is there. It's just whether that Arsenal. Whether that manager can kind of piece together these separate pieces and make them a cohesive unit. And I just do not see this happening. With that said, Kev, I see you guys winning. I think this is, like you said, a must-win game. You guys are going to go balls to the wall for this game, because if you guys do lose to Norwich,
and it's at the Emirates. If we do another poor showing at the Emirates, I mean, there may be riots. I'm just saying.
Kev's going to fly to London and riot in the streets. Don't make him do that.
Dude, like, this fan base has been through a lot the past decade or so, and I saw that picture you sent me circulating around of that really fun squad of like Mertesacker, Sanchez, Ozil, Santi Cazorla. Oh man, and who knew that was like the good times when we still weren't really winning anything, or we were just kind of just in our number four spot. Like, what I would give to even go back to that, man. Like, how the decently mighty have fallen. I don't know. I don't know. I'm getting sad. Arsenal are getting the fucking dub this weekend. All right, next game. Brentford, Brighton. Not too much to say about this. The bees will be stinging the seagulls, or are the seagulls eating the bees, Martin?
The gay seagulls are eating the shit.
Let's go.
Bumblebees.
But it's at Brentford. Those fans, man, they're super passionate. You saw what they did to my Arsenal squad, you know, at home.
That's true, but it's Graham fucking Potter. I trust in Graham Potter.
Ledge. I fucking love Graham Potter.
Most English-looking man of all time.
Most English name of all time. Even got, like, half a Harry Potter's name. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I really like this squad. I love Lamptey. I love Shane Duffy. There's so much to like. Bissouma's on my fantasy, so I like him.
Lewis Dunk rides my bench on fantasy, so I like him. He's been getting more points than Luke Shaw has.
Mbappe, he's a fucking shithouser. You know, there's a lot. I mean, if you're an Arsenal fan, you should really hate him. But honestly, I like him because he makes my club humble. And honestly, I still don't know enough about Brentford, besides they beat us. So I'm just being honest with you. I know their history, 74 years, not in the Prem. Their fans are really passionate. It seems like they're a really cool fan base. I just don't know enough about them or their players. So next game, Man City versus Leicester, which seems like this is kind of the match of the weekend. If you were to pick this between Villa, Chelsea, Liverpool, Leeds, and then I guess Everton, Burnley. Now, they're not in the conversation. Okay. Man City, Leicester. Villa, Chelsea, or Liverpool, Leeds, which match are you most excited for, Martin?
I'm excited for this one that we're about to talk about, Leicester versus City. I mean, we saw what this Leicester team can do to Manchester City. They beat them soundly in the Community Shield this summer. And to be fair, Pep did play his B-minus team, not his A-plus team. But with the absence of Ederson, with the absence of Zach Steffen, my boy Scott Carson is going to be between the sticks. I do think that is going to be somewhat of a liability. I think all Leicester are going to try and do is put the ball on goal and hope for a mistake. Leicester, and we've said this before, plays the same game regardless of the opponent, and they're damn good about it.
It's Jamie not like Vardy. Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds, straight Leeds up. Will, that's a Leeds, perfect example.
Leeds will play the same way and then lose 6-2.
Yeah. I think Leicester has perfected the Leeds way of arrogance, where they will play their same game no matter what. And I think their game plan is pretty brilliant behind Brendan Rodgers' mind. They're not too callous. They're not too safe. They kind of play that perfect in-between. Jamie Vardy, he's still doing it. He's still on cocaine. He's still on Red Bull, and he's still scoring goals. I think that they have done well with their back line. I think that they have an excellent goalkeeper in Kasper Schmeichel. And let's be honest, if anybody can pull an upset, it's Leicester fucking City. Let's go, you Foxes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm rooting for Leicester here just to make things more interesting, not in like an anti-Man City stance like you. I don't know. I just think it'd be more interesting to see if Leicester could pull up an upset. I probably would still put my money on Man City. I feel like Jack Grealish is really getting himself under his feet, and I don't know. They're coming off a confident, but you are right. We do have the lack of Brazilian, so And what's his name might be starting, Martin?
Scott Carson.
Scott Carson, yeah. Sorry, you did mention that. So that'll be wild. He hasn't played a Premier League game in like over a decade, so that's kind of cool.
What a match. Tom Heaton at Manchester United, Scott Carson at Manchester City. What year is it?
Just put Emi Martinez at Arsenal. What years have they?
Hey, you've got Aaron Ramsdale for some reason to ride the bench behind one of the better goalkeepers.
No, Martin, don't remind me. I know. I saw our transfer window.
Hold on. What was the goalkeeper you bought last year to ride the bench and have sold now? You bought a decent goalkeeper last year to ride the bench and you guys sold him. I can't remember who it was. Fuck.
Oh, I don't know, man. Arsenal have literally the biggest like bad luck when it comes to goalkeepers. Like we get like Chesney and then he goes and becomes great at Juventus, which apparently he's not that good anymore, but he was phenomenal at Juventus. And then we had Petr Cech, but we got him at the end of his years, and we had Ospina, and then we got rid of him, and then he did really well. And what's his name? Fabianski, he's not great, but you know, we have such weird, and then Emi Martinez obviously, but like we just have such weird luck when it comes to goalkeepers, you know.
But Bernd Leno is great. I love Bernd Leno. I think he's the best player on the
I'm team. Happy. Bernd Leno probably is the best. I don't think I'd say he is, but probably is.
he's like David De Gea circa 2015 through 2018. He's the reason y'all aren't fucking in 10th place.
We're in 20th, but
19th, Kevin.
Oh, right. Norwich is right above us, right? Okay. No, I don't know, Martin. I feel like Bernd Leno is the best performer, but when you're looking at everyone else just not performing when they probably have more talent, that's what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean?
That's a good way of putting it. And
He shows up every match, is consistent, but like other players on the team are definitely more talented. They just don't show up. Like Aubameyang, I would say, is our best player, but God, us giving him that contract was the stupidest fucking thing. We should have got rid of him and Lacazette. God damn it.
Is it fair to call Abba a flop in the Prem?
No, I wouldn't call him a flop. I would just call him a poor investment.
How old is he now? Like 28, 29?
No, I think he might be close. I think he turned 30. I think he's 29 or 30.
Shit, man. How time flies.
Let me check real quick. That's going to bother me. But we can move on to the next game. Newcastle Oh, dude, he's 32. Yeah, I thought he was way older.
Crap, he's 32? Abba is?
Yeah.
That's older than I thought he was. Crap. No wonder.
Yeah, I thought he was. Yeah,
why
I thought he was.
Why did you give him an extension if he's 32, Kevin?
Martin, we also signed William, like, and gave him a 3-year deal. But luckily, we terminated that, so thank God. Okay, let's go to United Newcastle. And it's at Old Trafford. Obviously, I think you're going to present Ronaldo, and the crowd is going to go absolutely fucking mental. I feel like this just screams Man United blowout with Ronaldo coming back. I don't know. And I this is no offense to Newcastle, but like, you couldn't have picked a worse game to come back to after the international break.
Yeah, I mean, we did lose to Newcastle due to the brothers strike last year. I hate playing Newcastle because there's no way in heck that we should lose to them, but we managed to every once in a while. If Manchester United presents Ronaldo in the same way they presented Varane, I might be done with this club. It's such a commercial fucking industry, and just let the man play. Don't present him to the fans. Don't let him walk out onto the field. Put him in the starting 11. He's the GOAT, man. Don't present him. Let him score goals for us. The only thing I have to say about this game is kind of a query to you. And I do believe this is an unpopular opinion that I have, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
I do not like the pairing of Maguire and Varane. I like the pairing of Maguire and Lindelof. I like the pairing of Varane and Lindelof. I do not rate Varane high enough to say that he is much better than Victor Lindelof, who has proven his worth in the Prem for the past 5 years. I did not really like the signing of Varane as a Manchester United fan. I thought Victor Lindelof and Harry Maguire were a good pairing. And I think that Harry Maguire and Harry Maguire and Varane are going to lead to mistakes more than anything else. Well, do I have any truth in that statement?
Well, I think I don't agree with your statement, but I can understand the hesitation because you're so used to something that felt like pretty good, if not great. I think you're probably going to notice some early center back mistakes because it is a new partnership. And I think you need to take that into account. I think you need to realize that there's probably going to be a few mistakes in terms of communication and what's going on, because Lindelof and Maguire, they were so used to each other. You know what I mean? Like, they knew each other, knew their tells, when to cover each other. I just feel as though Varane is, I mean, if you're saying Lindelof is a better Premier League player, then yes, I 100% agree. But like, Varane is the better overall player. And I feel like you've got to put talent outweighs that. That's what I would say on that.
Yeah, that's a damn good point. I'm just saying that I think Victor Lindelof's forward abilities to bring the ball forward or pass the ball forward far outweigh Varane's defensive abilities. I think Harry Maguire, and this is a super unpopular opinion, I think Harry Maguire is a good defender. I certainly don't think he should be the captain of Manchester United. I certainly don't think he should have a safe place in the starting 11. I think Victor Lindelof is a better defender than Harry Maguire is, and certainly a better forward-playing defender than Harry Maguire is. So I think my issue is with Harry Maguire, not necessarily Varane. But back to the game. I don't see us losing this game. If Cristiano Ronaldo plays, the Old Trafford is going to go absolutely bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Bananas. And, you know, if he scores, Kev, I might just swim across the Atlantic Ocean and you know, storm the field and get a selfie with him, because I won't be able to control myself. I didn't get to talk about my heart, Kevin. I told our friend Rosie for a good week straight that it ain't happening. He is not going to City. And thank God Manchester United stepped in and actually placed a bid for Ronaldo to prevent him from doing so, because my heart would be broken. But one of my favorite players is back at my favorite club. And whoo, boy, I just hope we obliterate Newcastle.
Yeah, soggy days coming for Newcastle. Next match, Southampton versus West Ham. Don't have too much to say about this. It is at St. Mary's Stadium for Southampton. Southampton hasn't exactly started off too hot, I don't believe. I haven't really watched too many of their fixtures. They're 13th. Okay, two draws, one loss. James Ward-Prowse just whipping in shots. I don't know. I just really like this West Ham squad. They're fun. They're energetic. They're very good. I probably lean, even though it's at St. Mary's, I probably lead toward West Ham or probably a draw.
Yeah, I'd do the same. All I got to say is free my boy Jay Lings. Let him go to West Ham. I think he offers so much for that squad. But let's not get it twisted. David Moyes is straight up proven himself once. I think this West Ham squad, like you said, between Kufau, Suchek, Antonio.
Mikel Antonio, oh my God. Kissing himself after a goal. That was sick.
Dude, there's no way that performance is going to hold over a season, though.
No, absolutely not. No, but it was fun at the time.
It was, and I like to take bets on how long that is going to last for Mikel Antonio, because when he's on one, he is one of the best strikers in the Prem. But he is also goddamn awfully inconsistent. And if I had to put some money on this game, I'd probably pick a draw or a West Ham win. I think Southampton has lost too many of their players over the transfer window. James Ward-Prowse is obviously gone. Bernard is obviously gone. Danny Ings is obviously gone. And it just feels like Hasselhoff is just lost his main core. And to be fair, Southampton is straight up an academy of growing stars. So give them like 6 months, give them a year, and they'll be back to challenging for that top 10 fight.
Yeah, I totally agree. I just think it might just be like an off year for them. So not where they could get relegated, but just it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So next match, Wolves versus Watford. I feel as though Wolves get the victory. They've been so hardly deserved for so long. I fucking can't stand Watford. And even though Troy Deeney's not there anymore, I just hate the Wolves so much. I mean, I hate Watford so much. Ugh, the WW game going on. I feel like Wolves pull it through.
I'm going to take the pessimistic side. I'm going to say the Wolves' misery is compounded. Bruno Lange is obviously a good coach for the Wolves. They have been playing some great football. But when you're down, you're down. And I say it's going to be a draw or a Watford win just by the skin of the teeth and bad luck. We saw how well Wolves have played against top six contenders like Tottenham and Manchester United. And I think they will play incredibly well. However, I think the bad luck is on them, and I'm going to call a Watford 1-0 win.
Okay. I hate it, but okay. last match for Saturday. Wow, Saturday is jam-packed, and there's only one game on Sunday and on Monday. Wow.
Scheduling people, what the fuck, dude? Like, why wouldn't you jam-pack Sunday? At least give them a break from the international break. Good God.
God damn it. All right. Chelsea versus Aston Villa is the headliner, it looks like, for Saturday. It is at Stamford Bridge. So, I don't know. I really like this Villa squad. They're very fun. They feel a new energizer like Danny Ings and co. But God damn, Martin, Chelsea just looks so fine this season. And it's at Stamford Bridge. I know Lukaku is questionable, but if we just go down the depth chart, like, it's just ridiculous how much talent is on this Chelsea squad and how they all like play so well together when they're intermixed. And Thomas Tuchel is proving himself week in, week out, why he, you know, so dearly deserves to be the champion of Europe right now. So I don't know, man, I feel as though Chelsea win this, but it's going to be a lot tougher than their earlier matches in the season. And that goes with saying, like, you know, Chelsea, like Liverpool, Chelsea was obviously very tough, and Arsenal, I mean, what can we say about Arsenal? But I feel like Villa is going to definitely make it tough for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Villa is one of those teams, kind of like Leicester, like we said, who brings their own tempo to each and every game and does not change their game plan too much. And I think they have a great core squad. And I think they're led by a great coach. However, when your team is just outclassed in terms of talent that is on the pitch, there can only really be one option. I think that the smart choice is to say a Chelsea victory, But at the end of the day, anything can happen. I think Villa is a great team, to upset the big six teams. Thomas Tuchel, pretty good coach. Chelsea as a squad, pretty darn good. They do everything really good, and every component of that team does it well. So I think that's the biggest challenge going into this game for Villa, to unlock the defensive unit of Conte. And then you've obviously got Cesar Azpilicueta, and then Thiago Silva, who cannot play this weekend, but I don't think that's going to be a big deal. And of course, their new boy from the academy. But at the end of the day, I think the talent on the pitch outweighs Aston Villa, and you've got to give it to Chelsea just as better. That's what I got to say.
Yeah, it's a safe bet. It's a safe bet. And, you know, I mean, when you got like academy guys, like you were mentioning Chalaba, and then Christensen's also been very good. He's actually been having a really great defensive resume building. And I don't know, Chelsea's just so deep, man. It's going to be really tough not to say that they're going to win this whole Prem thing. So, but I mean, hey, Man City also super deep.
Yeah, Man City has three squads. Chelsea probably has two, one and a half, two, something like that.
Yeah. And then Man United's and like Liverpool's like squad on the field is just so great. But God forbid you guys get like one or two injuries. Jesus.
Yeah. Then we're playing Matic.
Oh, God. I can't wait till the days we don't even mention him.
Dude, I know this is an aside, but why haven't we seen Donny van de Beek play? Like why haven't we seen that at all?
Dude, that's... man, that was a bad signing. Not because he hasn't played, just he hasn't been playing. Like, I don't understand it. Didn't you get him for like 40 million or something? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, he had an interview a couple weeks, or I guess a week ago, and he was like, Ollie promises me that I'm still in the plans and I'll make it into the squad. And, like, it's starting to get sad, like, kind of like Sandy Carzola sad, but not a horrible injury. It's just sad to fucking see this man wilt and ride the fucking bench while 38-year-old Matic plays in front of him.
Oli is like Dutch from Red Dead Redemption 2. I've got a plan. And
fucking it's just, mutton chops, man.
yeah, we'll see, man. That one just makes me sad because I'm like, I just want to see you play. I just want to see you out there. Like, just, I don't know, like, or get rid of him. Let him go somewhere else. Like, he's top talent. Like, when I saw him at, you know, Ajax, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, even if he's bad, give the kid a chance. He's got to be better than that idiot Fred.
I don't understand. Yeah, when you're putting out Fred and McTominay, I'm just like, what are we doing? Like,
nah, Scott stays. Don't you disrespect my magical
I'm
Scott.
I'm disrespecting Scott. I'm disrespecting him. I'm sorry. I just until I see Van de Beek, if I see him just lay a fucking burger out there, then fine. But
yeah,
until
fine.
Then,
play Fred. Just give him a fucking chance, Ollie. Please. You spent 40 million on him. At least give him a chance. You sold Daniel James, so either sell the man or give him a chance on the pitch.
RIP Daniel James, the original number 7 at United. Okay.
Oh, God, I fucking love Dan James, too. That is
you
a super
did.
Unpopular
you are,
opinion.
You are on the damn James like hype train for a while. I loved it.
He's a perfect Leeds player. Let's put it that way. Marco Biesle got a worker.
All right, let's get to Leeds then. Leeds versus Liverpool is the Sunday matchup at 11:30. It's at Leeds. I don't know. This just smells disaster for Leeds against Liverpool, even though they were very good against the top six. I mean, it feels as though they've been kind of found out a bit. And if they're going to try and play the Liverpool way, like the rock and roll football that Jurgen Klopp does, it just seems like this could be a potential another blowout for Leeds. Unless Biesla humbles himself and says, I am not going to play the same way I do against like how I did against United. Then I don't know. I just see Liverpool just walking through Leeds.
All right, let's go. Daniel James, score some goals for Leeds. I'm right there with you. I think that if this is an open game like Marco Biesla likes to play, kind of like he played against Manchester United, I think it will be a very similar game to Manchester United, where that Liverpool team is just going to absolutely exploit the space on the field and the space in the midfield especially. However, at the end of the day, I mean, Leeds is one of the hardest working teams that I've ever seen in Premier League history, as long as I've been watching. And especially in this modern day where it's a lot of possession and a lot of control, Leeds are the opposite to that. But it also allows the other teams to exploit all that freaking space. And even though it's at Leeds, I mean, this Liverpool squad is surprising a lot of people out there. They obviously have talent on the field and in the coaching staff. They have a set piece specialist and a free throw specialist. So I think this is going to be an ass beating. I'm calling it 4-1 Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. That or I'd say like 3-0. Like I don't.
Yeah, see somewhere Leeds around there.
And but no Allison. Amount. But no Allison. So probably.
Well, it's not like he ever sees action on the goal anyway.
Yeah, Virgil's back, baby. All right, Monday game, and then we'll get to some quick fan questions. Got nothing on this game. Burnley versus Everton at Goodison Park for Everton. Toffees are at home. Burnley gets a draw. There's this Wright's draw over it.
Monday game, yeah.
Monday draw. I'm going to put it on at the end of work. It's going to lull me into a little nap. Yeah. Burnley's going to frustrate the fuck out of Everton, and Sean Dyche is going to come away with a point. I just feel it in my bones, Martin. I feel it in my bones.
And yeah, Sean Dyche bends.
In my bones.
Also, fucking their best player, Gylfi Sigurdsson. And no! Their best player, Rick Carlson, cannot play. So, I mean, shoot. What, is Dominic Calvert-Lewin going to carry this team? Maybe, probably.
He did last year.
He did last year. But new year, new me. New year, same Calvert-Lewin. I'm going with you. Sean Dyche gets that point. It's going to be a bore fest of a game.
Yeah. But I'll watch it. I fucking love Premier League soccer. I'll fucking watch it. All right. Let's do some fan questions real quick and we'll wrap up. This is from our Twitter at lads_podcast. Yanko H says, how excited are you guys that Ronaldo back in the Prem? I know. Pretty fucking jazzed, man. I never really got to see. I kind of started watching soccer right after Ronaldo left for Madrid, or just right before, like when he won the champions with Man United. So to see him in the flesh in the Red Devils uniform, I'm really fucking pumped because I've always really liked Ronaldo. I'm a Messi guy, but I can't not obviously fucking respect how ungodly he is. So and obviously, Martin, you've already gushed, but you want to say one more thing about Ronaldo?
Yeah, I'm going to just say it for the people who are not Ronaldo fans and not Manchester United fans, where this isn't a huge, crazy fucking wonder dream of theirs. Like, to see a GOAT return to the place where he was built is just fucking amazing. To see a huge name like Ronaldo grace the Prem once more is going to bring a whole lot of new fans into the Prem, back into the Prem. I mean, it's just nothing but absolutely great storylines. I do have one more thing, and this is obviously me being an asshole, but Ronaldo, at the age of 36, is going to come back into the Prem. I'm not quite sure how well he's going to do, but he'll definitely score some goals. I know that. He'll definitely elevate that winning mentality.
Dude, he's Tom Brady, man. He's never going to.
That's absolutely fucking right. Absolutely right. He is Tom Brady. His body is a temple. And I mean, he is still yoked. He scores an average of 25 goals a game for the past three seasons at Juventus, who does have tough defense. But I want to throw some shade real quick. Kev, can I throw some shade?
Throw it.
All right. Ronaldo, age 36, comes back to the hardest and the best competition in the entire world. Messi, age 34, leaves the best team in Spain to go to PSG. There's levels to this GOAT game, boy. There's levels to this. Ooh,
Ronnie,
always better. Always chasing that trophy. Always chasing that competition. Let's go.
I mean, there's several things I have problems with that, but I don't. Let's move on to another fan question. We can make that a whole different discussion for another pod. The next question comes from the Sports Countdown podcast. They say, will Josh Sargent hit double figures for league goals this season for Norwich? I like Josh. This is no offense to Josh. I'm just saying there's not a lot for him to work around. If he gets 10 to 12 goals, I will be surprised, not shocked. But it just Norwich is just so bad.
I I'm on the same train as Kev, and I just want to put out a PSA. Stop overhyping American players. Just because he's American does not mean he's good. And that goes double for Christian Pulisic. He's obviously been displaced for this starting 11. I do not see him, you know, doing quite well for Norwich. He played for Hoffenheim, which was, I believe, relegated. I don't see this being a wonder tale for Josh Sargent. I think the best American out there is Brendan Anderson, and nobody fucking knows who that is. Well, Kev obviously fucking does, but...
Philly Union, baby!
That's right, he fucking did play there. But I don't see Josh Sargent doing well. I don't see him displacing Pukki from the fucking squad. Josh Sargent is an MLS player, let's be real.
Yeah, also shout out to Aronson. I got to see his little brother, who's also a beast, play for Philadelphia Union and see his first MLS goal live, and it was fucking sick. I recorded it on my phone. I fucking geeked out. They did lose the New England Revolution, but it was very cool. Next questions come from our Instagram. First at Lads Podcast, follow. First question comes from Lucas Navarro. He says, will Ronaldo be the Premier League top scorer? Question mark.
No.
You still give it to like Lukaku or Kane?
Kane, Lukaku, or Salah. I think Ronaldo, more than anything else, will elevate the mentality of Manchester United. He's a go-getter. He's a finisher, but I think he's going to be more similar to Cavani, where he'll score like probably 14 to 20 goals this season. But his presence alone will draw defenders to him and open up a lot more and space generate, for other players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Yeah, I would still probably give it to one of the aforementioned people we've already mentioned. But yeah, no. Next question comes from Swen CC. He says, will the U.S. men's national team make it to Qatar? And we have several of these questions, so I might just put them all together. Yentron asked, how fucked is the U.S. men's national team? The Dad Bod Chronicles asked the same thing. Are we concerned about the U.S. men's national team? I'm just going to put these all together in one question, guys. I do think USA makes it to Qatar. It'll be a very hard road to Qatar. But until we see some type of actual leadership from this squad, like, I'm not too confident once we get there.
All right. I'm going to answer this question with a question. Do we deserve to be in Qatar? Do we deserve to play in the World Cup?
Yes.
Because for me at this point, no, we do not.
Yes,
we are in third place.
Based on our
with group, Honduras and El Salvador.
Based
we
on
lost
our
first two games.
We drew. But I feel as though... we definitely deserve to be there. I don't believe we are overhyped, which I think is a very fair statement.
We're 10th place in FIFA rankings. That's the definition of overhyped.
Yes, but they also had England above Italy. They also had their rankings are all over the place.
I think
they do it for money. They put USA that high just to be like, oh, like they draw in US. You know,
it's back to the money.
It's follow the money, baby. Follow the money. Yeah, so I don't really take those rankings too seriously when the general soccer world is like, yeah, I know this is bullshit. Oh, Martin, are you there?
I'm here. I was considering saying something else, but I think that we've done a good job of answering this question. These questions, as I was.
Oh, my buddy Neil NG Ho says, who was in Paris? Because there's this ongoing joke in our group about the Kanye West song, some people in Paris. And the obvious thing you always say is who was in Paris, trying not to say a certain word. I will say Messi is in Paris because Kanye just made a lyric about him in the new album Donda. So I know this is all above Martin's head. He doesn't follow any of this shit, but
Are y'all talking soccer? No.
No. Are you talking Formula One? No. Are you talking SIGs or cars?
Shit,
no.
Yeah. If you aren't talking beer, soccer, cars, or Formula One, it's over my head. Like, I've gotten to the point where I have no idea what kind of movies are coming out. I have no idea what's happening in the music world because I listen to all old country. This is over my head. But, Kev, I have a fan question, but a host question.
Oh, okay.
Who would you take? Neymar or Salah?
Oh, God. I know, like, there's probably some people rolling their fucking eyes. Like, of course you should take Neymar. He's way better and more talented. But I honestly, Martin, I don't know. That's I know our one friend Dom is probably steaming because probably on paper, Neymar is better. But who
perfect
do I like?
Answer. Yes. Perfect answer so far. Keep going.
But if I want somebody who I know is a fighter, a winner, and not like a weirdo, I don't know. Like,
doesn't just fuck his sister as far as we know.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking about more, you know, all our sister talk earlier. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm also biased because Premier League bias, but I don't know. I just really, really like Salah. I think he's somehow still underrated. And I just, I would probably take Salah over Neymar. And probably every other soccer head's like, he's way more talented, whatever. But I don't care about that if it doesn't lead to results, you know? Like, I don't know. I'd probably take Salah.
I'm right there with you. And the reason for me is the games played. Salah plays about 34 out of 40 games a season. Neymar plays about 18 out of 38 games a season. Salah has an impact on on probably 75% of the games. Neymar probably has an impact on about 90% of the games. But when your numbers are half of the season you are involved compared to 90% of the season you are involved, you got to take Salah every day of the week for me. For me,
yeah.
And that hurts me to say.
I don't know. It's like I always just keep holding on to that like MSN season, you know? And I know they played for a couple years, but like that one brilliant season when they won the treble. But then like since he's left Barcelona, he's just been kind of like okay. Like I know he went to a Champions League final with PSG, he's won a bunch of PSG, but like seeing Salah just come in to the Premier League and take it by storm and like I don't know. And the consistency is so good there. Like, I know when Neymar plays, he does very well, but like, Salah's always there, man. He's always there. Exactly. He's just Mr. Consistency. So, wow, good question, Martin. Thanks for the question for the pod. we got a couple more here and then we'll wrap up. Sunflower State FC says, will the USL rival MLS in the next 10 years? I think probably competitively. But like in terms of money, the MLS is still just a baby in terms of sports leagues, in terms of like, and they generate the most money. So I feel like that's a different, like if you were to say like competitively or something that like has a strong fan base, then probably, but if we're talking like money and exposure and overall talent, then I think it's still going to be the MLS a decade from now.
I think that's the perfect answer. And I think the solution to that is something that the MOS will never do, and it's promotion and relegation, because I do think about 50 to 75% of the USL teams can easily jump into the MOS, and the difference in standard and quality of play is negligible. But they will never be able to, or they will never be allowed to get there to compete against MOS sides, because the owners of MOS will never allow for relegation and promotions.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and it sounds kind of cool, but it's like, will the championship ever rival the Premier League? No, like that's you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's just how we set up these leagues and these different like power statures. Like, it doesn't work like that. So next question comes from Dom 1033. He said, why did Brazilian police have to wait until the game started when Argentina was there for 3 days? I don't know. I didn't
that's
look too much.
That's a great question.
No, it's a great question, and I truly do not fucking know. It was super weird seeing people get stormed, the police come and like say, you got to get the fuck out of here. I don't know. It seems like somebody on either side's camps fucked up and did not read the rules. And maybe somebody lied saying, no, it's good. They're not here. I don't know. I honestly do not know what happened. It was a total clusterfuck and a whole PR mess. But that's a great question. Like, yeah, like if they were hanging out and the people were aware, why did they wait till the day of the game for the drama to set a point? I don't know.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback on that, the whole reason the Brazilian Federales stormed the field is because the players did not disclose the fact that they played in the English Premier League. I'm sorry, but was nobody aware that these big name players from Buendia to Emi Martinez, did nobody know that they play in the Premier League week in and week out? Does nobody second check anybody coming into the Brazilian national team? Did no authority be like, huh, I wonder where the fuck Emi Martinez plays. I've never heard of him. He certainly can't play in the Prem. Let's just let him play.
Yeah, dude. Like, it you know what it reminded me of? I know I brought this up on a few pods ago, but that like Malice in the Palace documentary. Like when everything was going down, like Reggie Miller couldn't play that game because he had like an injury or something. And he was on the court and the cops were trying to like pepper spray him. And they're like, yo, yo, yo. Like, and the cops were like, get off the court. You're a civilian. And he's like, dude, I'm fucking Reggie Miller of the Indiana Pacers. Like, I am the only motherfucker here in a suit. Like back when the NBA players had to wear a suit. Like how did these like cops, it's like the same thing, like, dude, do you know who I am? I play for fucking Aston Villa in the English Premier League, of yeah. course.
Did nobody fucking not, I guess nobody has heard of Emi Martinez or Buendia before. It's just kind of laughable, and obviously it's a serious problem. The COVID regulations and the COVID rules and breaking those rules is kind of fucked up, especially when you are as rich and powerful as these soccer organizations are. But is there nobody taking account for this shit? Is there nobody behind the scenes and saying, hey, these players actually do play in the Prem week in and fucking week out? I know they didn't disclose it, but this should be public fucking knowledge, no?
I don't know. It just seems like someone fucked up and that person is fired. So, all right, we got two more questions. We'll wrap this shit up. Tom Purvis 242 says, who is a player that you love who other people don't rate? Oh, man.
Daniel James.
God damn it. Scott McTominay for you, Martin.
Hey, plenty of people in my own circle rate Scott McSauce.
Yeah, Man U fans. Yeah, of course they do.
Let me jump away from Fred, Manchester
Fred.
United.
People do not rate Fred.
Nobody rates Fred. Nobody does. Lacazette.
Yeah, he did very well for us at the end of last year. He, you know, I just feel like he has such a low ceiling. You know what I mean? True.
Memphis Depay.
DePessy, as they're calling him. DePessy.
Yeah, how did that fucking start?
I don't know. Our buddy Dom put it in the group text, and I was like, how dare you?
How is that fucking just Dom, or is that a whole thing?
I don't know.
Everybody says DePessy.
I really hope it's just Dom, and he's just this one. I guess it must be a thing, but I hate it. I hate it so much. And there's no disrespect to Memphis Depay, but it's like, I what if someone started calling, like, I don't know, like Jaden Sancho Cinchinado. I don't know. I don't know. I can't even do it right.
Jaden Sancho is going to be a flop. Mark my words.
Well, that's not good for you, Martin. You should be rooting for the guy, but I guess you're just hitting it on the nail. You're just trying to be realistic.
I am always realistic about Manchester United.
That's true. You are the honest broker for Manchester United. So,
yeah, I am a pessimistic broker for Manchester United.
You audit the shit out of your team. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Don't let them get too ahead of themselves. What about you? Who's a underrated player that you rate and nobody else does?
I mentioned Christensen. I think he gets.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't get enough love as he deserves. I'm trying to think outside the Big Six. Do we still include Arsenal in the Big Six? I guess that's a meme going around.
historically.
You know who I think, and I don't think he's that good, but I think who I actually love from a rival team is Højbjerg. I actually really like him.
Yeah.
I think
Emil Højbjerg.
Yeah, he's got that cool O in his name.
That's right.
I think I really love him because he is an animal out on the pitch, and I think he doesn't get properly rated.
That's a good answer. I like Højbjerg.
And look at me. I am reaching the olive branch out to my fellow Spurs fans who probably hate me. I'm just saying, like, I like the guy. So, but yeah, guys, that was our show. Thank you so much for coming to hang. We'll be back next week to talk about the results from this weekend. Football is back. Premier League is back. And it's still decent weather out. So go have a great time this weekend. I'm getting tattooed. So, I look forward to, being in pain and watching some Premier League this weekend. Martin, you got any plans?
Yeah, Monza is this weekend, so my Sunday at 8 a.m. is perfectly fucking set. If you guys haven't heard, Monza is like one of the best races of the year. Ferrari might have a decent ability to fight for some serious points. I'd love to see Max Verstappen pull farther ahead in the championship. He leads Lewis Hamilton by 6 points right now. An absolutely fucking bonkers race last weekend in Zandvoort. And Spa was canceled, so they gave everybody half points. So if you don't have anything to do at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, go watch the Monza race. It's going to be fucking nuts, hopefully. Everybody just sit in front of the TV all day long on Saturday and watch some beautiful soccer because watch it's back.
The beautiful
it's
no game, mate.
Bullshit.
Yeah, international break's gone till, I don't know, 2 months from now,
November?
Maybe? Oh, that's fucking serotonin right to my brain. Goddamn. That's
we need dopamine. News. We don't need serotonin. Let's go, Kevin. Change the
chemicals. Oh, is that like... Oh, I thought if you're low on serotonin, that's bad though, right?
Dude, I don't fucking know. I thought.
Anyway, that's our show. Thanks, guys. We love you. Take it easy. Bye.
Bye.
I'll be your dream, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy.
I'll be your hope, I'll be your love, be everything that you need.
I love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong, I will be faithful, cause I'm counting on a new beginning. A reason for living, a deeper meaning. I wanna stand with you on the mountain. I wanna bathe with you in the sea. I wanna lay like this forever until the sky falls down on me.
And when the stars are shining brightly in the velvet sky, I'll make a wish, send it to heaven, and make you want to cry. The tears of joy.